we said there was something about men and women.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming at you live with a very late night. Well, actually,
it's not that late.
It's not. It's 11:30.
It's 11:30 at night. But we just came from a comedy at night, so we're feeling very comedic.
We are, and we had a really interesting
epiphany.
Epiphany, yes.
Yes.
I will say, you said the word epiphany before we went to the comedy show, and I had an interesting observation in my head, and the observation was, epiphany is spelled epiphone.
A-E-P-H-I-P-H-O-N-E. Epiphany.
Epiphany, but like I could call it, I would prefer to call it epiphone.
I would like for you to be happy.
All right.
So you say whatever you want. But sounds, I mean, good. Maybe in England it would sound like epiphany. So you want to call it what? Epiphany?
I want to pronounce it how it's spelled. Epiphone.
At least
over here, epiphone.
So what is the epiphony that you've... So we decided that our attractiveness level has gone way downhill recently.
It's really weird because like I realized... women don't want to have sex with me,
right?
But men do, and no one wants to have sex with Danny.
No, right? I used to get men, like I used to actually go to a college around here that was notorious for being, you know, Westminster College was sort of a notorious gay mecca of, and I would get whistles, and I would get like very, my self esteem was when I left was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really act on it because I'm not gay.
It's nice to get the attention, though.
It's nice to get the attention. But Now, I think if I walked in that same college, nobody would care, I think.
Yeah.
Whatever sex appeal I once had has totally gone down. So I think you're doing better than me because at least, well, we know of one man that wants to kind of get with you.
Right.
Well, you think, he never actually came on to you, right?
No, but actually what was interesting, I had a text conversation with him a few weeks ago.
We won't name any names.
After my last show ended. And
did he say he wanted to take you to a dark alley and do stuff with you?
Nah, but you know, I made a comment about how, you know, like I wasn't feeling good about how I looked
that day.
You know, that day. He's like, "Oh, you look fine, and I'm gay, so you know I mean that, like, so you know that means, like..."
What does that mean? Like, the gays, that's an approval somehow?
I guess, I think so. I think for men, like, if men, other men find you attractive, then...
No, you're right.
That's like the goal,
right,
I guess.
So right now, no man finds me attractive. No man finds me attractive, nor cats or dogs or mice or one-celled amoebas. No one finds me attractive. That's why I went to the comedy club today, dressed like Larry David on steroids. I'm wearing gray socks. I'm wearing shoes that...
Although, I will say...
Yeah.
Okay, so this poses a question.
Yeah.
Are you dressed like that because no... people are attracted to you, or no people attracted to you because you dress like that?
Cause and effect.
Cause and effect.
Effect and cause.
What came first, the chicken or the egg? What came first, the lack of attraction or the dressing down?
I just think I don't give a shit anymore about anything, so I just decided to go like this. And, of course, the comic tonight said, "Oh, you're really dressed up for this occasion."
Well, see, was he talking to you? I don't remember him looking at you when he said that.
He said that he was very – he said, "Thank you for dressing up."
And
I was like, "Thank you for being Jay Silverberg." We saw Jay Silverberg.
Jay Silverberg, what a treasure! Man.
Yeah, we went to the to the comedy club tonight without any women. It was just us, and no one made fun of us, which was good.
No,
but we saw a variety of good comedians. We saw Jay Silverberg, who is like, how would you describe him? Like, he's like. He's not.
He's got the same initials as Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
And he's got the same, I guess, shall we say, religious...
Affiliation. He's not religious, though. He's Jewish.
No. I guess Jewish, but I guess just by that extension...
He actually left very fast after the show. I think he got fed up with us. he was just like, "Okay, thanks for coming by."
Yeah. You know? I guess because there are no women around. Which, I'll be honest with you, you're like... A lot of times, like, as a dude,
right?
If there are women, any women involved in any sort of social
interaction,
it's going to pique my interest. Yeah. I may not talk to them, but just the fact that they're there.
Because her hormones get involved.
Exactly.
Your penis gets involved.
Exactly. And if worse comes worse, I'd go home and jerk off later. That's fine.
Of course. You know what? But you need some material.
Exactly. But you know what? When there's not a woman there, it's like, and you know what? You're dudes.
No, I know. I was a little offended, but he is like 91 years old, and he needs his rest. But you know, but what was interesting about tonight is that we saw very many levels of comedy, right? So we saw the Jay Silverberg comedy, which is, you know, it's pretty good.
He did one bit I thought was great where he was like, I forget it. It was really good where he was like, you know, no one, it was about following up. It was about one who follows.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I know, like, no one, everyone follows me because I know that means I'm not good or something like
that. Right, right. He said, because somebody follows me, like, he was the opener. So he said, you know, anybody that follows me is better than I am.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah. He also said, like, who would want to follow me in a gangbang? He just went on and on and on and on. Yeah.
Buffets are good to start first and gangbangs, and that was good.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. I just and then we saw a woman who was very attractive, but she wasn't like so seasoned, so she kind of, would you say she bombed? I don't know.
I would say she bombed. I feel like
she didn't get a lot of laughs.
I feel she didn't get a lot of laughs, but I feel like maybe she was trying out some new stuff.
Yeah,
you know, see what
worked. She was a work in progress. Mm-hmm. And then at the end she yeah, I mean I liked her because she was brave.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw, like, two very seasoned comics. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. It was great.
At different ages, like the guy we saw after her.
Right.
Like, you can tell he's had experience. Like, yeah. He's seasoned. But he's also really young. Like, I would say he's probably younger than me.
Yeah. And he was cool because he was very interesting because he was trying out material. And even when he bombed, he made it work.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see, that's why our podcast works, because even when we bomb, we make it work.
Somehow. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
We're on a roll. We got 12 listeners for our last episode.
That's right.
We are humongous in Bangladesh.
That's right.
I feel very good about where we are.
Oh, British Mark, if you're listening to this,
there's a lot to.
So British Mark, two things.
Okay.
One. Threesome Redux Part 2 is up again.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you were waiting on that. Otherwise, I would have, you know,
well, finished. Well, here, full disclosure. So we've had some issues with many, many, many issues with the whole threesome experience. Okay?
As would naturally be the case with any threesome experience.
Right. Especially Part 1 was fine, but Part 2... There were some words that needed to be edited, according to one of the three of us, which wasn't me or Ryan.
Definitely not us, because we're professionals at this point. So
and so it's been a constant putting the episode up, bringing it down, editing a minute, putting it back up, editing it back down, putting it in a minute. It's been on and off for like 3 weeks now. So and the only reason it's up again is because of you, British Mark, because we know that you think that Kevin is a genius. So, you know, you don't think we're geniuses, but you think Kevin's a genius. But we're the fucking masterminds of this goddamn program, so you better respect us. God damn it.
Also, British Mark, you know, you left a very concerning post on Facebook. That
I think he was
concerned.
High. He was
I just want to make sure you're okay, that you didn't, like,
you want to read, you wanna read the remark?
They didn't have, like, a stroke when you were writing. So I'm pretty sure you did other posts after that. I just want to make sure you're okay.
Do you want to read the remarks?
Nah, I'm already, I'm recording. All right,
so basically, you made a comment about our show. First three lines were very coherent, and the last three lines, you mentioned cartoons.
Something about Maverick, which we thought was maybe referring to Top Gun Maverick.
Maverick could either be Top Gun or the Mel Gibson movie called Maverick.
Maybe. And then
but we never mentioned it.
Yeah. Do you not apologize to me for something?
We don't know what the hell you were talking about. So can you please look at your notes and, you know, I know you're very busy washing dishes over there.
Yeah.
And like, you know, whatever you do in your man cave. But we don't appreciate remarks that we can't understand.
I love how he dedicated like 2 minutes of this episode to a personal shout out to our.
I know we get a lot of mileage out of British Mark.
We really do.
You know, it's kind of like it's as if we're like a famous podcast. Oh, by the way, some people look down upon, like Jay Silverberg, the comic, doesn't want to do our podcast with us.
Yeah, it's well, you know what? Jay Silverberg, I feel like...
Jay Silverberg is fucking jaded. He's jaded.
He's jaded, but...
He's a Jew. He's a jaded Jew.
I won't say that because...
I can say that because I'm Jew.
You can say that. I'm
jaded and I'm Jewish. And I... It's just... Here's the thing. Can we talk about podcasts for a second?
Absolutely. Because it's the perfect... Okay, time.
Right, because we're doing a podcast. Right. I mean, it's almost like it's like we're building a house. We'll talk about a house.
Might as well.
So, okay, everybody and his cousin has a podcast these days. Maybe not British Mark because, you know, he doesn't have any friends.
British Mark will get more listeners than us. I guarantee it if he had a podcast.
It doesn't matter because size doesn't matter. But the point is, so Jay Silverberg looked at us and I said, you know, Jay Silverberg, we could do a podcast about your life, celebrating your life as a comic. You have a story to tell. You know, you're a comic. He goes, nobody cares about podcasts. And he has a point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But our podcast, for me anyway, is more for us than for anybody else. Mm. Right? Yeah. It's like the new version of keeping a diary.
Yeah.
If we looked at the past episodes about my prostate and our trajectory, whatever. Right. We haven't accomplished anything really.
Right.
But it seems like we accomplished something because we talk about it.
I mean, it's fun. Like, here's my take. Okay, so if I wanted to create something that... I'm going to insult this show at the same time.
Oh, yeah,
I'm going to insult it and compliment it at the same time.
Okay, great.
So this show has been a hell of a fun time for me.
Mm-hmm. And?
But I will say, you know, in terms of like, so like, I'm not expecting this to go anywhere in terms of like building an audience. And it's
right.
For different reasons. Like, to me, this is kind of like a therapy session slash like right. half fat. It's a lot of fun. Right. You know?
Slash comedy slash.
Exactly.
Right.
If I wanted to create something that. I don't know. That was more than this. Like, right.
Then we would do it. Yeah. Right. We want to do the least amount of effort have the most fun.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, but, you know, even if we do a crappy episode, it's still something creative.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, you know, like, you know, we could be sitting at home, which we are, but we could be sitting on the couch eating popcorn, watching, you know, reruns of Miami Vice or something, but we're not. We're doing this, you know, and we're impacting the world in some small way.
The Beatles did it. The Stones did it.
We are
and
like,
now we're doing it.
Okay, you know how the Beatles played like Hamburg?
Hamburg, yeah.
Hamburg?
Is it Hamburg or Hamburg?
I think it's Hamburg.
Right.
I think it's Hamburg. But okay, so you know how like they honed their craft in Hamburg?
Oh, yeah.
So we're honing our craft, but not in Hamburg. We're doing it in New Jersey.
That's right.
Right. And we're never going to be as big as the Beatles.
That's kind of interesting about the Beatles. It's actually been a while. It's funny. Like, for a while there, like, the first, like, half of our show, we made a reference to the Beatles in, like, every episode.
Probably.
And it's been, like...
It's hard not to.
It's really hard not to.
They were a pretty iconic. Big band.
They're a pretty big band, you know?
Yeah.
And it's interesting, though. It's like, when you think about it, it's like...
Sorry.
They're so big because they did something where they were somehow
pioneers,
like they were new, but they wound up creating such a huge like legacy for themselves that like
right.
no one else like it was like
right.
Before they came along.
They were of the time and ahead of the time.
Ahead of the time.
Is that a good day for the podcast?
That, yeah.
They're exactly what we're not. We're not even back in the time.
But I would also argue it's because it's not necessarily our fault. It's because the Beatles created and ended the time.
Right.
They were, like, right. no matter... How many other bands were, like, in your opinion, as good
right.
as them? Like,
right.
they created and ended a time where it's like they.
Right.
It's hard to explain.
No, I know what you mean. But it's also because they didn't really. You know what? They didn't. Even though they worked in the studio, like, every day and put in a lot of time and effort, they sort of did it organically and effortlessly. Like it was, they didn't go from Rubber Soul to the White Album. They did it, you know, they went through Revolver. They went through, you know what I mean? Like it was really a very
organic.
It was very organic, you know, and like you couldn't manufacture that, you know, like these days, who the fuck knows what's going on in the music industry? Like everything is crazy. I mean, you know, back then there was what you heard on the radio was what you heard. Mm-hmm. You didn't have fucking Spotify. You didn't have fucking fucking Netflix. You didn't have fucking anything. You didn't have fucking alternatives.
That's right.
Like you don't have the one thing that everybody listened to.
Yep.
Like if we were the only podcast in the world, we'd be fucking famous.
We'd be the Beatles of the podcast.
We'd be the Beatles of the podcast.
I'd rather take the McCartney role.
I'll be the John.
You be the John.
Just I hope I don't get murdered. You know.
I shouldn't have laughed at that.
No. I would take the John role because even though it's very tough.
Yeah.
It's very tough, you know, the whole Paul versus John argument.
I actually read a quote today from Paul.
Okay.
Like, on Facebook, it was like, he was, like, saying how, like, you know, it was kind of like saying how, like, before they became famous, you know, John was really, like, sweet and, like, down to earth. And, like, when he got murdered.
Right.
He kind of, this kind of legacy got set where he was seen as, like, this kind of figure,
right?
Whereas, like, he remembered him a lot more
as a kind person
from, like, before they were famous and they were first starting out together. And
well, Paul, yeah, I mean, like, who knows? You know, there's Paul's version of the truth, there's John's version of the truth, and then there's the truth,
right?
Like, nobody really. I mean, there's no such thing as truth. Okay, your version of, like, the truth and my version of the truth are different.
That's right.
Like, so, like, but I mean, you know, I would say that John is the more interesting of the two because he was more. I mean, I love Paul. It's a tough call, yeah. Paul. You know,
it seemed like John was like the man who definitely wore his heart on his sleeve more.
Yeah, and he was more. He was again. I hate to use the word dichotomies, but I will. Paul was Paul. Like, what you see is what you get, you know? He's a nice guy who's an incredibly talented musician. Mm-hmm. John was more than just one thing. He had a lot of different things inside of him.
Yeah, he had a lot of demons.
A lot of demons and a lot of kindness and a lot of demons and then a lot of kindness. Like, Paul just had the kindness.
Yeah.
Like, Paul didn't really have demons. I don't think.
I wonder if he did, but I think maybe he might have just learned to.
I mean, compared to John,
yeah,
he pale. It's all who you're sitting next to, right?
Yeah.
So Paul did write Helter Skelter, which is a pretty like fucking mean like fucking.
It's like their. I would say that's probably like their heaviest.
Right, and track. And the reason Charles Manson killed a bunch of people, I guess.
Right. Right.
So you know, there's that.
Unless you watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which gives you an alternate version. A nicer ending, a much more fulfilling ending
sure.
to that story.
Sure.
Great film.
Great film. But, you know, if I was to go with... I mean, I'd say John is the more... It's the more interesting... Even though Paul's really interesting, John's more interesting.
Yeah.
You know? So, if I was casting the movie as John, I'd do it, except for the Revolution 9 part, you know?
Do you remember when... Remember that movie Yesterday came out?
Yeah.
And, like, they had that, I guess they, had an actor playing an older John.
Yes, right. The main character goes to visit John, he's alive, and it's a really weird scene. John is, like, living in a cabin by the beach.
Yeah.
And he's just like, hey, I'm John, I used to be John Lennon. I mean, see, that's the sad part about his death. First of all, we were robbed of a lot of great music.
Oh, yeah.
And we also robbed of what he would have been like as an old person. Like, we know what Paul's like as an old person. He's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
You know, Ringo, pretty much the same.
Yeah.
You know, but John could have been like, who knows, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, so we talked about the Beatles.
We did. No, that's that section.
We went from Jay Silverberg to John Lennon.
I don't know how we get to that.
I don't know. I don't know how this happened.
Oh, because he started down. He's not really positive about podcasts, and we're talking about the right. Beatles' sort of place in.
Okay. So here's the question: do you think John Lennon, if he was alive, would he do a podcast today?
Absolutely.
Like, you think?
I think he would have a lot of fun with that.
He would probably have his own podcast.
He would have his own podcast. He would be on other people's podcasts. I would actually not be surprised, like, if he would be the guy, like, let's say we reached out to him and we're like, hey, John.
Right.
You know, long shot. I'm sure you're too busy, but
right.
Would you want it? He'd call in
and be like, I don't understand why Johnny's so afraid of Revolution Number 9. It wasn't that scary.
Yeah, I think we'd have a good time with them, actually.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. I find him so fascinating. You know, I mean, most people do, but and the fact that he got murdered just adds to the
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you got murdered, I mean, well, I would care.
Well, yeah,
and you know, I'd be like, oh man, he got murdered.
Well, I think it's interesting. Like, he of all people,
I know. Like, you know? Ringo couldn't get killed. Right. It was John.
Like, it's like
John. If one was to get murdered, it would have been John because he's the most controversial figure.
Yeah, that's you know true. I mean? Yeah,
like nobody's gonna kill Paul. He's too nice.
Yeah, George.
George.
Like, no one talks about George. Yeah, I think he was.
Well, he died of
his song. I think his song. Well, yeah, he. He died much later, but I feel like his songwriting was on par with the other two. That's my opinion, though. Well, it developed at a later time, but it.
I think he had peaks. I think All Things Must Pass was a brilliant record.
Oh, yeah.
I don't put him up on the level of John Lennon and Paul McCartney.
Well, to be fair, I haven't heard anything past All Things, so I'm just basing it off of that.
I have. It was just okay.
What was the one he did with Traveling Wilburys?
Yeah, Traveling Wilburys was a cute.
I liked that their main hit single.
I liked it, but it's not. Yeah. It ain't no Paul McCartney and John Lennon's best work. Right. It's cute. Bob Dylan and Tom Petty and George Harrison all got to get in the studio and they made some cute songs. Okay, it's just cute. I mean, Traveling Wilburys is just cute. It's cute at best. It ain't no Imagine. It ain't no, like, right. Sgt. Pepper.
It's
cute.
I think I told you I listened to John Lennon / Yoko Ono Band.
Plastic Ono Band.
Like,
the first.
Plastic Ono, yeah.
His first record.
It's one of those things where it's like, you know, between that, McCartney, and All Things, in 19, all released in 19, we're going to.
Right.
Disregard Ringo's stuff because
that stuff doesn't count. That's like.
Sorry, Ringo.
No. Even he would understand.
Yeah. But like.
Ringo's music is like taking a nice shit and it's like, it feels good, but it doesn't last because you just flush it.
Right, right.
His music is flushable.
Right. But it's interesting. So it's like, I was listening to.
Right, Plastic Ono Band, which is a solid record.
Very solid.
Oh, yeah.
Very fucking solid.
It's probably, I would say, is his best solo record.
Yeah, I think like I've only heard that and Imagine, actually, so it's like
Imagine is good, but it's flawed. Plastic Ono Band doesn't have a bad song on the record,
right? Yeah,
yeah. Even Yoko couldn't ruin that record.
That's right. Yeah. Even though her name was part of her name was.
No, you got Mother. You got like, oh my god, every song. On
actually,
that
like
record.
I actually like Well, Well, Well.
Well, Well's great. Mm-hmm. Remember is great. Isolation is great.
Mm-hmm.
The whole record is a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah, it was.
But. So are you saying that, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think it's interesting how it's like you had three phenomenal records in right. the same year. It's like each one was
right.
sort of like its own take on like the breakup of the Beatles in
right.
a way. It's like each one
right.
approached it differently and it was like,
right.
each one worked in its own way.
Right. So John approached it in an anger sort of way because he was into like primal scream therapy at the time. So that whole record is really angry.
Yeah.
Which is great. Paul approached it like he just, I don't know, rented
out. McCartney kind of reminds me as like, well, I can do all this shit myself. And he did.
Yeah. Well, he was like, instead of making a big, instead of
trying. Yeah, it was all completely like lo-fi. Yeah,
instead of trying to top the Beatles, he went the other way. He's like, I'm going to shock the world by making a very acoustic record,
mm-hmm.
which is, in a way, was shocking because it was, like, so relaxed. It was a relaxed record.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He fucking did it in his, like, he talked, like, in his living room, you know?
Yeah. And George was like, well.
George was like,
fuck this.
Yeah, I have all these great songs that the Beatles never let me play, and I'm going to fucking release three records.
It was fucking.
All right.
I mean, even like the Apple Jam, the third record of like just jams was fucking.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know. And that was like full of drugs and Eric Clapton. And, it was that. It's a messy record.
He could have done nothing else after that, and it would be great.
And some people say he did nothing else after that. I mean, yeah, I don't think he did anything really substantial after that. I mean, he made records that were okay, you know?
Well, see, it's interesting. Like, we were talking before, either before or after the comedy show, we were talking about, like, artists and how, like, a lot of them, like, even though they've been artists, they may perform for decades. You know, it's like after a while, it gets to the point where, you know, it's almost as if like their earlier work is better.
Oh, yeah.
Than their later work. And it's like, right. how can that come to being when it's like, you know, we hypothesize that maybe because like after a while, they just become shot completely of like ideas.
I don't know. So I have to. It brings me to my Bryan Adams experience, right?
Oh, okay. Right.
So I saw Bryan Adams with Joan Jett Wednesday night, Philadelphia. Bryan Adams straggles the line between art and cheesiness, but for some reason, but he was fantastic. Like it exceeded. It was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Oh wow!
I would really say that his voice is completely like he was like in his prime, which is really hard to do in your 60s. And he was like doing it effortlessly. He wasn't even trying. He was just really. He's on top of his game. So, and it just made me think about like people in their prime, which is usually in their 20s and 30s. And what happens when you get reach 50s and 60s and you're still really good? So I was just, it was a very uplifting experience because it was like, yeah, his recent records, not that, haven't been that good. But it doesn't really matter because people are still coming to see him. It was sold out. He had a flying car running around the thing, which was almost worth the price of admission. And, you know, it was amazing. So, but I don't know what makes, I don't know why it's, I guess because the level of hungriness is only in your early 20s and 30s, I guess. Like something happens when you get successful, okay? It happens to, like, Stallone never made a First Blood after First Blood, you know what I mean? Like those were the Rocky One. Mm-hmm. You can't. Even if you try really hard to duplicate your success, once you're successful, you're at a different level.
I think I read a quote somewhere or heard a quote somewhere. It was like, I think a lot of times like it applies to, like I think I've seen it applied to in terms of like TV seasons or like a movie where, you know, you have your whole life to create the first one.
Right.
And then like, less than a year to create the next one.
Sure.
Something like that. And it's right. Like it's...
Right. Because the pressure is there and you have less time.
Mm.
Yeah. And it does make sense. But I guess I think the more... Like Springsteen, for example, I don't think he really... He's like, fuck, I'm not going to top Born to Run and Darkness in Your Town. So I think he stopped trying to top them years ago.
Mm.
You know? And that's the only way you can make another good record is if you don't... It's comparing yourself, you know. You can't compare yourself to
yourself
to yesterday, you know.
Yeah.
Like and that's why the Beatles. I don't think when they so they made Sgt. Pepper, which was incredibly like a milestone, and then they still had Magical Mystery Tour and the White Album and Abbey Road
mm-hmm.
and Let It Be, which were like tremendous records.
Right.
And if they thought, how do we top? I don't think they were thinking, how do we top the last one?
Yeah.
They were just still riding this creative wave, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think comparing yourself is you shoot yourself in the foot, you know?
Mm.
Like you can't compare yourself to yourself or to other people.
Right.
You know what I mean? God damn it. God damn it. Look at me preaching. I'm preaching to the Lord. I'm preaching the gospel.
I don't think God's... I mean, I think God's here, but...
God's here.
Not like...
God. I'm sorry. I'm very flabby today. But I think God is like floating around the universe. He's like, oh, they're doing as is. Oh, let me tune in. You know.
So I think one of
our listeners is God.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, God, you know, what do you think? You know, what do you think about this whole thing?
I think God, if God gave us constructive criticism about our podcast, it would be like, I don't know. He sounds like, I don't know what God sounds like. He's like, you guys seem to be treading water, but you do it in a different way each time.
Yeah.
So I'll allow it.
I kind of hope God's a woman, just because like when I die, I want to feel like
you want to be cradled by God.
I want to be like a little intimidated but turned on at the same time.
You always want to be intimidated by a woman. I don't understand this. Like, I don't want to be intimidated. I'm intimidated by a woman as it is.
I mean, I'm intimidated too, but like, there's different levels of being intimidated. There's like I want to be intimidated like in a turned on.
No, I know, but so you're saying if God was a woman, you'd want to have sex with God?
Probably, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of performance pressure right there.
Right. I mean,
like, I feel
at the same time. I feel like there's not. I feel like I'm kind of off the hook because I feel like it's God. God's probably had like the best sex like ever. I feel like there's no way I could ever measure up to that. So there's actually kind of no pressure on my part because I know going in, she knows going in that I would never be able to measure up. So we're just gonna have a good time.
How many partners do you think God has had since the beginning of the time?
Too many.
Like, do you think if God is a woman, does she fuck everybody that goes into heaven? She's like, oh, Gandhi, I'll fuck him. Oh, John Lennon, you were murdered. I'll give you a blowjob. You know, you know, like, I mean, like, is that the way God like just you know welcomes everybody into heaven?
I mean, I don't think God is like submissive in that way. I feel like God kind of like
God must be. If God is submissive. Yeah. Actually, you know what? Maybe God is submissive because he's so dominating in the role of God.
Well, I kind of hope God is not a he.
Oh, she.
At least in this context, right.
It's very confusing because like, if you do have sex with God as a woman, do you say, oh, God, when you have sex with her? Like, isn't that kind of redundant?
I mean, I don't say, oh, God, when I have regular sex.
I think I have said it once or twice, and I kind of felt like it was a cliche, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I think it's best if you... I try not to talk during sex at all because I just feel like I really don't want to...
It gets in the way.
It's enough effort to actually just do the act, you know?
It's enough effort just to actually get to the point where, like, oh, I'm about to have sex.
I know. By the time she takes her pants off, I'm exhausted. Like, it's 7 hours of pleading and, you know, it's like it's like 5 a.m., you know? And we're both high on drugs, you know? So by the time I'm actually, like, inside, you know, the person,
right.
The woman... I'm so exhausted. I don't even know what's going on. So, but if you were to say something, it would probably be best to say the person's name and get it right, like the actual person's name. Like, don't say your ex's name. Like, say the actual person's name.
Right.
Because then they'll think that you're thinking about them, which is not often the case. I mean, how many times have you had sex with somebody and you thought about somebody else while you're having sex with somebody else?
Right.
It's very hard to be in the moment. Sex is very tricky. Sex is very tricky.
Really?
Yeah, because you have to be... Well, I don't quite remember. It's been a while. But, I mean, I think that you have to be... What's the secret to good sex? It's to be in the moment, right?
Right.
And how do you be in the moment? Like, I mean, everybody agree with me. Everybody raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. Like, everybody... You've had sex with somebody that you're looking forward to the sexual activity... But then it starts, and you're like, I'm kind of thinking about other things, and it's not really as exciting as I thought it would be. And then you feel pressured to make it exciting, even though it's not exciting. You know what I mean? No?
Wait, so you're having these thoughts
Yes.
after
No, it during, starts. During. Yes, during, yes, after it starts. The initial activity has begun.
Once the initial activity has begun.
Yeah.
I'm not really thinking of much until my mission is complete. Till
completion? Oh, you're a better man than me then.
Right.
I'm not neurotic in real life, but I'm very neurotic during sex.
Well, see,
it's a curse, really.
Well, see, here's the thing.
When I'm having sex,
when you're having sex,
yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
The main goal.
What's the goal?
You have two goals during sex. The first goal is to make sure they get to completion.
I try my hardest.
Not too quick a time, but not too long a time. That right. way, they enjoy it.
An hour and 25 minutes is usually what I try to do.
Right. That way, they enjoy it, and it paints you in a good light. And also, the second point is you reach yourself to completion.
Yeah, yeah. That both of those things are very hard goals to complete. Very hard goals to complete. I'm probably better at the first goal than the second goal.
That's actually not bad. I would say, like, If I
came and she didn't, I'd feel very bad about
that. Right. It's better that they do.
Yes.
And not you.
Have you ever had the experience that nobody came? I've had that experience before. It's very frustrating.
I don't think I've had that experience.
I have.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know what it's like? It's like playing soccer with the team and nobody scores. It's like 0-0 for 90 minutes. And no matter how hard you try, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at least it's better than like coming in 2 seconds. That's the worst. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it doesn't really matter because we're not having sex anytime soon.
No, but I mean, at the same time, it's good to have that sort of like in the back of your like mental inventory, you know, like.
I'm trying to think, there was a time in my life where sex was like pretty regular activity.
It kind of was for me too for
a little while. God damn it.
But I think part of it for me is like realizing that, you know, back then it was more important for me.
Right.
To do it. Whereas now it's like, you know what, it's been done. I kind of prioritize other things in life.
I know, but you know why it was important for us back then? Because we actually had the possibility of it. Because we were actually in the vicinity of other women that might want to have sex with us.
That, I think, was also, for me at least, it was also but way before the time when I realized, you know what, you do it once.
Right.
That's pretty much it, you know.
Right.
You can do it as many times as you want, but at the same time, it's the same thing over again. And it's like,
I know. I'm trying to make it seem like it's not that exciting, so that I don't feel like I'm missing out.
I mean that's part of it too. It's like it's okay. Yeah, I did. That was part of it. Like when I never did it, it was like, what the fuck am I missing out on? That was part of the angst. That I did
fuck this, you know. Every time we do a podcast, I always tell myself we're not going to talk about sex this time or the lack of sex, and we end up talking about that. You know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure that's what the show has always been about.
Why? It shouldn't be. We should talk about other things.
But I think at the same time, this is also how like the conversation kind of like segued into that. So it's not like we intended to have.
No, I know. But I just hate that subconsciously I'm thinking about vaginas and tits. And stuff. I don't want to be.
It is.
I don't want to be a slave.
Okay, so here's my thing. So every time I do, okay, so I often feel that, but then I also remember, you know what? And it doesn't happen instantaneously, but like usually I'll get distracted by something else I enjoy, like music,
or right.
Movies, or something. It's like, you know, there's a lot more to life to enjoy.
For sure. Sex is really a small. It's just one part of life.
Exactly.
Yeah. It would be nice though to end this evening in the vicinity of a woman that has breasts and stuff, and you know. But that's probably not going to happen because it's like midnight, 10 minutes after midnight on a Friday night.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's okay. Wait, are you getting another beer?
Wait, you on?
No, I'm good. I'm just thinking of. Let me look at my little list here.
Oh, did you write some notes,
too? Yeah. By the way, yesterday, Well, let's see. I had Comedy Tonight Without Women, which we achieved.
That's what happened.
You want to hear what else I have? I have Ian Cross. I'm in the process of doing a podcast and my other podcast with a musician, and it's proving to be very, it's a whole thing. I think
you know, we were talking about it on the way home from the comedy show,
right?
And I think it's actually going to be really good because this Ian Cross, I don't know him, but it sounds right. Like he knows what he's doing.
So he knows what he's doing, but he's a very intense artist, and he's never released a record, and he's been, you know, a producer, an engineer, a Grammy-nominated, winning, whatever. Mm. And he's taking this very, very seriously. And for some reason, he heard me do some podcasts, and he wants me, but he wants it to be technically very, you know, like very advanced and... I can't even tell you. Like, we're recording it in a very different way. So anyway, it's been a humongous part of my week. It's just we've done rehearsals. Who heard about rehearsals for a podcast? Rehearsals as if it's a play.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if that's like a common thing for like professional podcasters.
I'm not a professional. This is a hobby,
right?
But now, and we're scheduled for Monday, and I'm nervous as fuck. As if I'm releasing my own record. I am not releasing a record. But I'm just, we put so much weight into this that I am, I have notes. I mean, like, as if this is like a play I'm working on. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. And if this play, and dude, we're going to go for like 2 hours, man. Because I could just tell by, we did a practice the other day. And I just asked him one question. And it went on for, 10 minutes for, like, where were you born? Where were you born went on for 10 minutes. And we didn't even get to like anything. So anyway, it's going to be the Schindler's List of podcasts, man.
Right.
So
the Schindler's List of podcasts.
Schindler's List of podcasts. That's the way it's going to be.
And
I'm not getting paid for this.
Dude,
this is a hobby of mine. So here's the deal, okay? This is a very easy podcast to do with you because we just talk about our lives and, like, whatever happens.
Right.
I somehow started talking with musicians, and usually it's a very nice, organic experience. But in this case, this guy is really intense, man. He's like the Al Pacino. It's like Al Pacino.
Oh, shit.
Like, he's like, I can't even tell you. We spent hours and hours this week. Hours and hours. And I think I can't take this. I can't take this anymore. No, it's gonna be good. What's interesting? Okay, this guy, he's 60 years old. Okay, he used to be in a band that was sort of successful in the 80s, and then became an engineer producer, and now he's making his first record in his So he's like, it's almost like he has accomplished a lot, won Grammys. He tells me. But nothing else compares to what he's doing now. Like, he wants these songs to be like, you know, so, right. And he's choosing me to be a vehicle for the podcast. So I'm kind of honored, but I'm also like, man, like I it's way above the technology wise. It's way above my head, but I played you the song. Like,
that was fucking great.
He's got chops. He's talented for sure. I just find it very interesting. We were talking about Prime before. Here's the angle, okay? Prime. Mm. So, Bryan Adams, right? 63 years old. So most people would say he's past his prime because his big heyday was the 80s. Mm. But he just gave a fantastic concert.
Right.
Where he was on top of his game. His voice is exactly the same. And I'm like, it kind of expands the definition of what does prime mean, you know? Right. And is prime a good word or a bad word? Like, if you say someone is in his prime, is it actually a limiting parameter? Like, if you told me, Danny, what was your prime of your life, you know? Like, I would probably say it was my 20s and 30s, like most people would say, right?
But I definitely say that in terms of my sexual prowess, yes.
Oh, yeah, your sexual prowess was definitely...
Early 20s, yes.
Right, yeah. But... We're not talking about sex all the time. We're talking about, like, do you like yourself better now or when you were in your 20s? You know what I mean?
Like, that's, that, That's
a psychological question.
That's a very interesting question, actually.
I'm a professional podcaster.
That's right.
I come up with very provocative questions. I think
that's an entire. Let's stick to what you were saying.
Okay. All right. Well, I would say for me, I can't speak for you, but for me, I like myself better now than I ever did before. Even though I'm uglier and not as sexually desirable to the opposite sex, but I do like myself better now than I have in the past.
Okay, well, I guess I'll answer that question then, since you did. There are things about myself now, my life now, that I like, I appreciate more now.
Right.
But, you know, when I think back to, like, when I was younger, right. There was a, there are certain things about myself when I was younger that I liked more, particularly in terms of, like, innocence, right. You know, in terms of, like,
right.
Being more of a, maybe more of a decent human being that I liked more than I am now.
But that's perception, though. You're not really, that's a very... Like, are you really less decent now than you used to be?
Okay, so I guess I view back then as more decent just because, you know, back then I didn't have the experience.
Right. You were more naive. Innocent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is, back then it was PG. Now you're, right. now you're the R-rated version.
Right, fucking R, man.
You're the X-rated version of yourself. But I think it's because you've accumulated more disappointments and more heartache, which we all have.
Mm,
so right. it makes you long for a more innocent view of the world where you weren't so tainted by life's experiences.
I think that, you know, it's interesting you say that because, you know, I think a lot about, you know, where I was back when I was like 20 years old. Because I think about the year 2006. And I think for me, 2006 was a great fucking year.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best. But I think part of it is because of what you were just saying. You know, it was a much simpler time for me. You know, I was a lot more naive and experienced in the world. You know, I had a lot more time ahead of me.
Right.
I had a lot more potential.
Right.
Enemy, but
right, and you probably weren't like overthinking things.
I wasn't overthinking. I was just. What was the, I just wanted to get laid.
What was very primitive. Yeah. What was so great about 2006?
You know, I think there was just like I wound up having my first actual like relationship. You know, I went to college for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I was really kind of just enjoying life.
Right. It was a lot of firsts.
It was a lot of fun, like on my own.
It was like your rubber soul.
It was kind of like rubber soul. Yeah.
Right, like
yeah.
Right now you're in the White Album phase. Like your rubber soul was like the first time that they see the parameters that they can
right.
expect.
Oh, right, right. Yep.
They can break the boundaries. Like right. It's limitless possibilities. Rubber soul right. is limitless possibilities.
Limitless possibilities.
White Album is like
fucking jaded.
It's jaded, kind of, yeah. I'm so lonely, I could die.
Yeah.
Right? But it's also...
And there's all... You know, White Album, and actually that's a great comparison, because like, White Album, there was so much to it. And even now,
right.
there's so much right. to it in terms of my own life.
Right.
That's like, yeah, there's so much variety.
Right, right. You know? It's a great comparison. Mm-hmm. I will pat myself on the back, because Rubber Soul, they're playing as a band... White Album, they're playing, like, they're recording it individually.
Yep.
They're not, they're kind of like, there's discord among the band.
Mm.
So, but on the other hand, I would venture to say that you're probably more comfortable in your own skin, even with all the heartache.
I think so, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, it's a tough call. Like, it's experience versus innocence.
I mean, there's definitely a, like, why experience... Yeah, exactly. Comfortable by my own skin.
Yeah.
It's like now, like, I no longer feel like, you know, back in the day, let's right. say 2006 me...
Right.
...felt like I wasn't manly enough.
Right.
Now, it's like, right. I really don't give a shit. Because, right. like, I've proven...
Right. to yourself,
to myself, and to others.
Right.
That I am.
Right. Right. You're not questioning yourself as much.
Right.
Right. You're not as insecure.
Right.
Yeah. This is good. This is good. This is like, this is what you know. You too, which I'm not a huge fan of these days, but I still value them. They had two records that a few years ago, Songs of Experience and Songs of Innocence. Right.
Right.
So it's kind of like innocence versus experience. The older you get, the more, obviously, the more experienced you get, the more you lose your innocence, but hopefully you gain some wisdom.
I really, I hate to interrupt you, but
yeah.
Songs of Innocence, I actually enjoyed that album.
Me too!
And
Is that the one with...
That was the one that they dropped on, like, iPhones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. That was a weird way to drop an album. But that had... I think that was
I enjoyed that.
That had the Ramones, song with Joey Ramones
on it. Yep, Every Breaking Wave. And I remember,
it's
like...
a solid record.
I remember it was like...
Irene, about his mom.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember like it was like 2000... So that came out in 2014.
Right.
2015 was like New Year's Day. I was out driving around with my girlfriend at the time. And Every Breaking... I was, you know, changing the radio station. We just happened to come across Every Breaking Wave.
Right. Right.
And all the song ends, and all of a sudden, like, the radio station host was like, deemed the most disappointing record of 2014, U2 Songs of Innocence. And I was like, what? My girlfriend at the time, she just starts laughing because she, like...
Yeah.
I was, like, praising the album.
Yeah,
like,
no, I'm with you on that. I'm with you. I love that record.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I love it, but I like it a lot.
Right.
I definitely like it better than the Experienced record.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it's a solid record. It really... That would be the equivalent of us putting As Is on every podcast. You're just inserting it into everybody.
I'll never forget when that happened. I was like... I have a free new U2 album?
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. Everyone's like, oh, it's Invasion of Privacy! You people.
It's a bold move. It's a bold move.
Oh, by the way, Foo Fighters released a new album. I haven't listened to it yet, but I hear it's really good.
Yeah. I'm not...
Have you heard it?
I haven't heard it. Is it out in full force?
Full force. Like, it downloaded to my iTunes.
I still buy albums. You know, Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's worth saying.
I know you're not a huge Foo fan, but...
I like him as a person.
Dave, right.
Yeah, I mean, I like his passion for music. I just find... I just find his songwriting kind of... I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's missing something for me. It feels... I don't know. But, I mean, I do... Like, I like the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say anything bad about him. If he hears our podcast, I don't want him to get pissed off, you know?
Well, I hear, like, from a lot of reviews I've read... Is that, like, it's, I guess, with the death of Taylor Hawkins, I guess...
Right.
It brought, like, a heaviness, a different...
Yeah, it would be interesting to hear his view of, you know, because that is a tough blow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about Taylor Swift the other day, though, too, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I would like to say to all... Here's my, like, as if I was famous and people ask me questions...
Right.
So Taylor Swift just played in New Jersey and in New York. She's broke records down. Like, the tickets are astronomical. It's been a humongous thing, right? People show up to the parking lot, even if they don't have tickets, just to hear the music. Like, it's been a crazy thing. So I was like, I always dismissed Taylor Swift as like a pop whatever. I did a kind of a deep dive the last few weeks. I changed my mind. She's talented. It is an interesting phenomenon that she's so big as she is. I still don't love exactly that type of music that she's doing, but she has an amazing ability for hooks and for creating very memorable melodies. And she also writes smarter than a typical pop artist would. She writes things in a personal way that is so it's not stupid. It's not stupid music. It's very catchy, which to my rock and roll ears is like a little dismissive because I want stuff to have like a rock edge.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have a rock edge. It has a pop edge. But she's really talented at what she does. And she's very pretty.
And I would say, like, with Taylor, I would say, like, I've started to do a bit of a deep dive into her too. Because, like, I remember when she was first coming around, you know, right. with Teardrops on My Guitar.
Yeah.
And then You Tim Belong McGrow. With Me.
Yeah.
I actually don't, it's funny, because I listened to a few for your first albums just within the last week.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't recall, even back, way back when, listening to Tim McGraw, the song.
Right.
Like, I think that was her debut single.
Yes.
But, you know, like, Teardrops, you know, that was one that, like,
yeah,
my girlfriend at the time, way back when,
right,
was listening to.
Right.
And,
right.
But I think, okay, so in terms of, like, the type of musical style, like, granted, if you listened to the first episode of As Is, you knew that I, you know, listened to country way back when. That's what I was kind of raised on.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I'm not the biggest country fan nowadays. Right. I do like country rock, especially the type that manifested in the late 60s, that time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Taylor Swift, you know, like, from what I understand, from what I've gleaned so far, is she's experimented in a way that not a lot of artists do.
Uh-huh.
Like, she went from country to country pop, to straight up pop, to synth pop,
right,
R&B, like indie rock, and from what I understand, like, her news album, Midnights, I haven't heard any of it yet.
I have.
But I know you said Antihero.
Antihero is a good song.
It's a good song.
Yeah, no, it's good. She went to more ambient sounding, even though it's still pop, but mm-hmm. it's a little more sophisticated than it used to be. Yeah, I mean, she, you know what's interesting about her is that it's very rare to live in a time when an artist is in their prime, exploding, like the Beatles did, or in the 70s, like Queen, like mm-hmm. all these brilliant. So Taylor Swift is happening right now. It's like universally, she's selling out everywhere, causing, it's almost like Beatlemania for Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's interesting to live through that. And I'm not as passionate about her music as, you know, like other people would be. But I definitely appreciate her talent. And it's and I think she's a good person. I like, from what I've seen in videos, she plays 3.5-hour shows in the rain. Like, even when it rains, she plays. Mm-hmm. I saw footage of her in the rain, like, soaking wet, you know. But it's all. But you know what? I hate to say this because I don't want to take away from her talent. She's also very pretty, and it's another case of sort of the whole package coming together. The good music, with a package of kind of like the Beatles. The Beatles were very attractive people. You know, Paul, John. You know, they were very attractive. So, if the Beatles looked like Meatloaf, I don't know if they would have been as, you know, sometimes it's the whole package, you know, it's the music and the, and, you know, and I don't want to take away from her talent, but she's very attractive.
Well, one thing I want to bring up, so I don't know if, because this is something I did a little reading up on. Apparently there was a big thing a few years ago with her, her back catalog with the rights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she wound up re-recording some of her albums, and she's,
yeah,
I know her third album, Speak Now, I think it's just up for pre-order now.
That's right.
And she re-recorded, like, yeah, some of her biggest albums.
Yeah, it's a big fuck you to the record companies.
Yeah.
Which is another cool thing about her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, she's redoing. So her true fans are listening to her re-recorded versions and not to the original albums because they want to be on her side.
Like, oh, right. You know what I mean? I haven't listened to any of the re-recorded ones yet.
Nah, I mean, they're probably not that different.
Mm.
But she's going to make more money because she owns the royalties to the new recordings.
Yeah, she's probably still making money off of the old ones,
yeah,
too, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting... She's an individual, you know? So,
yeah.
But it's kind of the perfect storm of an attractive singer with a really good voice and also has... Like, it's very interesting how huge she is.
And she's actually branching out because I know she was in that movie Amsterdam.
Yeah.
That came out last year. That,
yeah.
She wasn't in it for too long, but she was pretty good in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, she's talented and she and she cares about musicians that are lesser than her. Like, she brings in, she just played she brings people on stage with her that are not as famous.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, I mean, it actually makes me feel better about the music industry, because like, if she really sucked and people loved her, I would be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But she's talented. But I also wonder if she wasn't really that attractive as a person, would she be? I think it's both aspects. You know what I mean? Like Janis Joplin wasn't that attractive, and we would never know how she, because she died at 28.
Right.
So we
27. Because I think she was part of the 27
club. That's right. She was 27, like Kurt Cobain, like Jim Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
But again, fucking Hendrix was kind of attractive. Jim Morrison was attractive. Janis Joplin was kind of animalistic, but attractive, sort of. I mean, in her animalistic way. Like, most people that are successful have sort of
An attraction. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm trying to think, can you think of a very like unattractive artist that made it famous? Like, it's very hard to think about, you know?
Well, I guess
I mean, I'm thinking like Ed Sheeran, not that attractive, but it's very successful. But he's not like hideous looking, you know? Like,
not hideous, but I get.
But he's not a cover boy. You know what I mean? He's not a poster boy.
I guess if you're okay, so I guess it depends on if you're in a band or a solo act. So like, if you're in a band,
mm-hmm.
if you're a front man,
mm-hmm.
chances are the more attractive you are, the better you are. Because then the rest of the guys, they can be. Because I'll be honest with you, a lot of the great guitarists,
right. Not very
like,
good.
I may know their names. I may not know what they look like.
Right.
I just know that they're fucking good.
Right.
Know? And
right. You have Aerosmith had Joe Perry, Queen had Brian May,
mm-hmm.
Eddie Van Halen. They were all like, you knew them, but you didn't really think about them that much as much.
Right. In terms of like their looks, you just knew them from their talent.
Right.
Exactly. Right. But in terms of like a Jagger or, well, see what's interesting. Another thing about the Beatles, you know, like they were the front men.
Right.
Paul, John.
Right.
But they also had like the whole package going on.
Right.
But in terms of like, if you're like Jagger, he was a great front man.
Right.
Performance wise, you know, like he was a great singer, great songwriter, but I don't think in terms of like instruments, he was.
No, yeah. Very rudimentary.
The other guys were.
Keith Richards was the. Right.
Keith was the guitarist, aside from Brian Jones originally, then Mick Taylor,
right.
then Ronnie Wood. But,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Mick Jagger.
He had the personality, though. He had that swagger.
He had the animalistic sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not, like, I wouldn't pay thousands of dollars to see Taylor Swift.
Right, me neither.
But I
have other things to pay for, so.
I know, but it is very interesting to have such a mass appeal of one person.
I mean, I can see why.
Yeah.
She costs that much, in terms of, like. Different, I guess, different areas.
But there's also an element of like a mysterious quality, because there's other people. I don't know. What I haven't heard from Taylor Swift is I haven't heard a huge variety. Like I've heard country to pop to indie, but it's still I haven't heard her like do something very different from what she like.
Right.
It's still Taylor Swift. You know what I mean?
No, I can see her doing. I can see her actually pulling like.
Mm-hmm.
I could see her doing like a straight up like rock album.
I would love that. Yeah, I think she's close.
I could see her doing that.
She had Bryan Adams on stage the other day.
She did
Summer '69. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I mean she has. She definitely has. Like she can do whatever the fuck she wants.
Oh yeah.
You know, she's that big. You know. But it's like, but it's also like it's been a long time since the world has been around one artist. You know, like when was the last time the world cared about one artist? You know,
it's actually kind of really weird in this day and age to
get to that. I mean, I can't think of the. I mean, there's a lot of successful people like Ed Sheeran and like, you know, pop people, Rihanna, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But not like in Taylor Swift capacity. So this is kind of a throwback to the 70s. Oh my God.
Holy shit, all right.
I don't know. I might be. This might be my last dying thoughts. The Taylor Swift. My last thoughts would be about Taylor Swift.
That'd be interesting, but.
No. I mean, it's. It makes me feel better about the. Like if she had no talent, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Because people are crying. I mean, literally, people are there's mass hysteria around her right now. It's crazy. But anyway, that's my Taylor Swift synopsis. Also, Tina Turner died.
Oh yeah, I think we might have talked about her a few episodes ago. I don't know.
I don't know, but she did die, and she's still dead.
She's still dead.
Yeah, she's not coming back.
You know, so I came up with a great, profound statement today.
Yeah.
Life is for people who are alive.
Okay, let me get this straight. Life is for people who are alive.
Right.
Now when you think of these thoughts, is your first thought after the thought like, oh my God, that's an amazing thought? Like,
no.
Okay. But yet you feel the need to say it out loud. Just to cement it.
Like, right.
Okay. Life is for people who are alive.
Right. And
do you believe in life after death?
I like to believe it.
I think there is life after death. I mean, I don't know if there's life after death, but there's something after death.
Right. And so the statement, life is for people who are alive. Uh-huh. It sounds very elementary.
Very basic.
Very simple, basic. Right. Almost kind of.
It's like saying.
Almost kind of moronic.
Right. It's like saying food.
And that's intentional.
Okay.
It's intentional. Because. A lot of people like to come up with these grand, profound, thought-provoking statements. And me.
You like simplicity.
It's not just that.
Okay.
If I work hard, I can come up with something just as profound and thought-provoking as that.
But the
statement, life is for people who are alive,
mm-hmm.
is really just a big, you know, kind of fuck you to that whole thought process.
To the people that are trying to be deep.
Trying to be deep, but they're really not.
But it's kind of like saying food is for people who like to eat.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
You know, like, all right. You know, I mean... life is not for people who are dead. It's for people who are alive.
But I think it's also like, you know, like I used
to be. You should post that on Facebook.
I used to be like one of those people, like if I thought of like a great profound thing to say, like I lived to think and write in such a profound way.
That'd be great if.
That like, now it's like, fuck that, you know?
That would be great if your whole life, you lived your full life, you worked, you were like really, you know, you grew, and then you came up, your best thought was, you know, life is for people who are alive. You know, that would be like your big statement. I'm not knocking it.
But see, what's kind of interesting though, in another perspective though, is it's true.
Sure.
Because like it's deep, but very simplistic at the same time. Because,
but
like,
what can we learn from it?
When you're alive, fucking live.
When you're alive, fucking live. Okay. I would.
I think it was like the. There was a baseball player. I think his name was Yogi Berra.
Yes, there's a documentary about him these days.
Who said like the weirdest yet most profoundly simple things.
Right.
And it was like. Guy was actually pretty brilliant in his like simplicity.
He was quirky.
Yeah.
There's actually a documentary about him right now playing at.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah. It's I don't know much about him, but apparently he was a celebrity beyond the athletic ability. Yeah. He would just say weird things, you know.
Yeah.
But life, listen, I think I'm living. I think I'm living.
I think we are. I think tonight, our adventure tonight proved.
Our adventure tonight was, you know, this was an example of like a small night in a small town and a small comedy room for in front of like 25 people, but it was still a night. You know, we lived.
Hell yeah, we did.
You know, and that's all we can hope for. That's all we can do. So are we going to edit these two pieces together?
I think we are, yeah. I think we're just about the end. I think that's
I know, because you got to get up early in the morning.
I got to get up early, so... any final thoughts?
Yes, I would like to say that I believe life is for the living. I don't know who said that, but it's a...
That sounds familiar.
I think that life should really be for those of us who live... You know,
who are alive?
Yeah, I think. I'm not sure, but I think that's what I would like to the audience to take away.
Because I guess it's safe to say that life is not for the dead.
No, it's not for the dead or for the people who have died in the Civil War or who have died last.
I mean, they're still dead.
Well, right, like Tina Turner is still dead from last week.
They're all, once you're dead, that's like...
I guess so, but once you're alive, you're still alive. So that's the prime, that's the positive. How can we get so stupid? I'm so sorry.
No, I'll be honest with you. I'm good with embracing the stupidity just because, you know what, it's...
Like we have deep things to say, but we choose to say stupid things.
We have exactly, and also you know, I've been on the other side. I've been on the academic, intellectual, quote unquote side. Right. It's like it's all fucking bullshit.
That's true. It's true. Sometimes simplicity is better.
It really is.
And maybe next episode we'll say smart things. I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath. Like, British Mark, if you're listening to us and you decide to start holding your breath.
British Mark thought Kevin was genius. And we need to talk to him about that.
But, that's a whole other thing.
I know. But anyway, listen, you got to get up early in the morning.
I do.
You have, Ryan has training for a job situation.
Part-time job that I'm going to be doing once a week for maybe at the most 3 months, so...
See, Ryan has a beautiful summer ahead of him, and he decides to work on the weekends.
I have debts, and I just want to start paying them off a little bit quicker, but you know what?
I hear you.
It's all right.
You know, Bruce has a line in one of his songs, "I have debts that no honest man can pay."
That's a good fucking line.
That's a good line, man.
Holy shit.
I know. And of course, it doesn't apply to him because he's a millionaire.
Well, did he write it when he was poor?
He wrote it in Nebraska, 1982. Oh, okay. Yeah. Atlantic City. I have debts that no honest man can pay. That's a great line. It's a great line. I will leave you with that.
Why, thank you, sir.
You take with that. And you do with it as you will.
That sounds good.
We were going to do 20 minutes, and we did like an hour and a half.
Yeah, we did. Any last line?
Keep chasing the sun.
All right, bye.